we'll take it up this
Lock
week.
Lock Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Happy Independence Day, July 4th. Across this great country, we wish the United States a very happy birthday. We're very excited. We're broadcasting today directly from the Dallas Tea Party. And let's say hello to Adriana. How are you, Adriana?
Fine, Silvio. How are you?
Just doing great. Thank you very much. You are our lady on the spot, if you will, and you have been able to get us a couple of guests. Before we get to our guests, what are your reactions? Is it pretty warm there? I mean, are there lots of people there?
Yes, there's a lot of people, and certainly more people are expected. There is already a lot of people eating in the outside as well as inside of the South Fork House, which is the house that we saw in the show. And the speakers have been received very well. They are speaking about different issues. The music is great. The food is great. And the temperature is hot, but there is a lot of water, and it's a great day.
Well, I think that's the key. Make sure you drink a lot of water. But I tell you what, who will be speaking with us first today?
Okay, first I'm going to introduce to you Mr. Michael W. Cutler. He is from the Center for Immigration Studies, and he's a very well-known personality on the issue of immigration as well as other issues, and he has been in several TV programs and in radio programs, and he certainly is a person who has spoken and the people has received him very well. So I have here Mr. Michael Cutler.
Well, Mr. Cutler, welcome to Dallas.
Well, thank you, Silvio. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been here before. You know, I was an immigration agent, and when I was trained as a new agent back in the early 70s, I was actually in Brownsville, Texas at the Border Patrol Academy. So it's a part of the country I'm familiar with, and it's great being here, but I wish somebody would dial the heat down just a little bit.
Well, that is the great news about Texas is that our economy is doing better than the country. The bad news is that our temperatures are a lot hotter than the country. This is a very warm place in July, and that just we get used to that down here, but when people like yourself come down, it is a bit of a shock. It would be as if I went to, let's say, Wisconsin in the middle of January. It's sort of the other extreme of what they feel up there. But listen, what are your impressions about this great Tea Party in Dallas?
Well, my hope is that this is the beginning of an involvement by the citizens of our country. You know, I always love to say that democracy is not a spectator sport. And it's really important for all Americans to be as involved with our government as they are with so many other things. It always surprises me that so few people know who their elected representatives are, but those very same people will probably tell you without hesitation the standings of their Major League Baseball team in their hometown. So I hope this marks a change. I hope that finally the average American is waking up and understands that they really need to participate in their own government and make the politicians accountable, because that is really what the idea of a democracy is, isn't it?
That's right. What are some of the issues that you think are driving these tea parties? You know, is it spending? Is it taxes? Is it other issues? Well, what do you think is driving it?
Well, I think certainly the economy has to have everybody's attention. But, you know, I think that the American people have come to the conclusion that the government really no longer represents them. You know, I was a federal agent for 30 years, and people in law enforcement know that they're not allowed to accept anything from anybody that might even create the illusion that they're being less than objective. You know, you take a free cup of coffee and boy, you're in a world of trouble. But politicians will go out there and collect tens of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions and brag about it. Certainly people see this kind of duplicitous conduct. I was on Lou Dobbs a while back and I told Lou, you know, every time there's an election, we get the best government money can buy. So if you look at the economic stimulus package, if you look at the issue of illegal immigration, and by the way, immigration impacts just about every aspect of America, from national security and criminal justice to the economy, the environment, healthcare, education. So all of those issues, I believe, are of great concern to most Americans. And I think that the result is that you see so many people who are now starting to really become involved. And as I say, I hope this is the beginning of a real big trend. Because that's, I think, what America needs, to have that fresh air that only the citizenry can generate.
And one of the things, Mr. Cutler, that I'm seeing across the country at some of the other Tea Parties is that this is really bipartisan. I mean, you have Democrats, you have Republicans who are turning out. To use an old slogan, sort of put country first. It's an idea that, you know, the country needs our help and we better get involved.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I'm a lifelong registered Democrat. I don't know where the Democratic Party has gone. I think someone needs to send those folks a GPS. But I don't think either party really represents the average American, and I think most Americans feel disenfranchised. And I think that's what's really happening. You know, on 9/11, the ashes from the conflagration of Ground Zero landed on my home. My neighbors were killed. I worked as a volunteer with the 9/11 families for Secure America. And we all have come to the conclusion that our failures to secure the borders, our failures to address so many of these issues, are costing Americans their lives. Look at all the systematic failures. You know, America used to be the can-do country. When President Kennedy challenged our nation to go to the moon, we did it, and we did it in less than the amount of time that we were told that we needed to do it to meet his objectives. Today, rather than become the can-do country, we seem to be the country that continues to fail in so many ways, and all the politicians seem to do is to step up to the microphone to offer excuses.
Yeah.
I told my kids the opposite of success is an excuse, and I think the American people understand that basic principle also.
That's right. Well, Mr. Cutler, I know it's a crazy day. You've got a lot to do, but we want to thank you very much for your input, and thank you very much for participating. As I mentioned before, I'd like to have you back sometime to talk about immigration.
I would love it, and you know, I just want you to realize that the First Amendment isn't only about freedom of speech, it's the right to a civil peace. In addition to the founding of our nation, you attended those meetings under shade trees or in churches or in schools. Today we do it on the internet, we do it on talk shows. It's important that the American people have these conversations and the debates and the discourse, because it's out of these debates that I think all of us will come away with a greater understanding of so many of the important issues. And I thank you for the hard work that you're doing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cutler. You mentioned baseball at the very beginning. You know that here in Texas, we have baseball games. We play them at night because it's so hot. How would you like to be a pitcher tonight, throwing 7 or 8 innings in this heat? Now, that you talk about someone earning his pay.
Well, wouldn't that be a new explanation or a new version of throwing heat?
Yes, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. That's what we call it in Texas, throwing heat, because it's 100 degrees when the game starts.
Okay. Well,
thank you, Mr. Cutler. Thank you.
But I thank you again so much for having me on.
Thank you, Mr. Cutler. Thank you very much.
Very good, Silvio.
Okay, Adriana.
Now I have Mr. James Dickey. We're supposed to have Mr. Dickey in the show before, but he was traveling. But he is one of the main organizers of the Dallas Tea Party. But not only that, I want to tell you that he is also a member of our Denton County Republicans. And he was also an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention. So he is he's here with me, and he's Mr. James Dickey.
Well, I sat behind them at the last meeting, didn't I?
That's right, yes.
That's right. I mean, I remember I sat behind you, James. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, I was sitting right behind you. I think you were with your son, weren't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, how's it going?
It's going very, very well. We've got a great crowd. South Fork Ranch is a great facility, and we've got people spread out all over the place. We have exhibitors, and we have air-conditioned exhibit halls, and we have the cool zone, and we have an air-conditioned area where I was able to see Adriana and Michael Cutler speak, and it was fantastic. And we just got tens of thousands of people spread out over the place, and we know that it's going to grow even bigger as the day goes on. So it's not too late. Anybody listening can go ahead and come on out. We'd love to have you.
Yes, I plan to be there later after we do the show. How many people do you estimate there today?
Well, we are hoping for between 30,000 and 50,000. It's really hard to estimate how many are here. I know though that we have at least 4,000 cars that have already parked here. So we've got at least somewhere between 10,000 and 15,000 people, depending on how many people came in each car.
What motivated you to get involved? Why did you get involved in these tea parties? What caused you to get involved?
Well, that's a great question. And I had a growing frustration. I mean, starting early last year, I decided to get involved politically, and I chose to do that through the Republican Party. I got involved, and as Adriana said, ended up becoming an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention. And that was a big honor, but I was really frustrated that by the time I got involved, there really was no chance for me to, you know, make a significant impact on you know, what I felt was really not a very conservative nominee from the party. And that was really, you know, that was really frustrating to me. And then when things just continued to get worse, when the bailouts happened and the government takeover started to happen, it just really became obvious that, you know, doing the normal thing just was not going to be good enough. And so I decided to, I'd gotten involved with top conservatives on Twitter, and I'd gotten involved with, conservative folks online. And when the call went out to have Dallas do a first Tea Party in February, I decided I should help make that happen. And three of us got together, and in about 4 days threw together a little thing completely impromptu with only some online connections, and we ended up having, you know, 300 people show up at Victory Park downtown Dallas. And it was, you know, it was funny. It felt, you know, it felt very startup. There was a lot of passion, a lot of interest in trying to make a difference, but we really didn't know what we were doing. And it's just amazing how much has grown since then.
What do you see as the next step, Mr. Dickey?
Well, the next step really is for us to organize the folks who are out here. You know, the people who come out, you know, it is, South Fork Ranch is a beautiful thing, and we've got a beautiful place, and we've got fantastic acts and fantastic speakers like Adriana and Michelle Malkin and everybody else who's going to be on the agenda today. But, you know, it is Texas, and it is the 4th of July, so it's 102 degrees, and it's going to take some passion and some interest to get out here. And we want to channel that passion. And so we've created what's called the neighborhood coordinator position. And we already have hundreds of these throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And it's our intention to spread it around. And we are equipping those neighborhood coordinators with training and information and the data they need to be able to, to be able to affect real legislative change in their neighborhood. And that is really, really the way to go to affect real change. I'm very excited.
You know, we had Philip Dennis on Thursday. If you see him, please say hello. He was on our show on Thursday, and we spoke a little bit about all these events. So I just want to congratulate all of you for the great work that you have done setting this up. And you know, you've got my support, and we will be with you the entire distance. And I want to thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, it is my pleasure. It's an honor to be on your show, and can't wait to see you out here. This is going to be great. Thank you for having me on, and look forward to it.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Well, Silvio, this has been a great day, and certainly I will try to see if later on I see Michelle Malkin, and hopefully she can give us an interview recording so we can put it in the show hopefully next week. But we also had other very good speakers coming, and Mike Downs from the Monkees. Hopefully we can talk with him too. But I'm going to say goodbye also, and I appreciate so much that you have us in your show today.
Well, thank you very much, Adriana. And, yeah, go ahead and make some recordings of those interviews, and we'll be happy to have them on. We'll be happy to have them on Tuesday. Have a great day, and say hello to Daryl.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Well, that was Adriana Boyne from the Tea Party right here in the Dallas area. And we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with our friend Laurel Garza, who was attending the Houston party this morning. Well, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas on a special show in July, a special show on July 4th. Let's say hello to our friend Laurel Garza from Houston. How are you, Laurel? Laurel, we're not getting you. There must be a technical problem. Laurel Garza is not. Are you there, Laurel? Well, I guess he's not coming in. I tell you what, let me play this little patriotic tune, and we're going to try to reconnect with Laura right after this.
There's no place like America, no place like it in this whole world. There's no place like America, you feel it when the flag is unfurled. There's a special place.
Like America, a great song for July 4th. This is a group called Manatee, okay, and I'm not very familiar with the group. I frankly just got some information about them this week. I think they're from California, and they have some patriotic tunes like that one, No Place Like America, and I thought I liked it. I thought it was a nice tune for a day like this. Let's see if our friend Laura is on the line right now. Laura?
Yes, I'm here now.
Oh,
Sophia.
Great. We had a little, as you know, having
technical difficulty.
Yeah, that's right. That's the nice word for it. You've done this before, so you know how that works. But we're so happy that you're joining us today. You may have heard part of the report from the Dallas Tea Party with James Dickey and Michael Cutler, a couple of the speakers at the Tea Party today. Well, tell us, you were in the party in Houston. Tell in Katy, right? Not Houston, in Katy. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, I'd be glad to. The party I attended today at about 1 o'clock in Katy was hosted by Texas Senator Dan Patrick, and the featured speaker was U.S. Representative Michael McCaul, who represents my district here in the district that spans from West Houston all the way to Austin. It's quite a large district and mostly rural. it was an interesting meeting. I would say that there were only about 40 persons there. Perhaps the heat was a big deterrent, as it was dangerously hot, I would recommend. However, it was a very interesting talk, and it went quite well and lasted about 30 minutes.
I was asking James Dickey and Michael Cutler here in Dallas, and I'd like to ask you the same question. What do you think motivates people? You're exactly right. It is extremely hot here today in Texas. I mean, it's over 100 here. I mean, going outside is a challenge. Most people today are either inside, or if they're going to go outside at all, they're going to go near a pool if they have one, or they're going to go to a pool, some kind of a public pool. I mean, this is simply not the kind of day that you would think would be a good day to be just outside doing anything. It's one of those days when you kind of miss the Astrodome, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Why do you think, why would somebody show up? I mean, it takes a certain amount of passion, I suppose, and a certain amount of interest to show up at a day like this at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at exactly the hottest moment of the day, I mean, which is right now as you and I are speaking.
Well, you're right about that, Silvio, and I think it's very interesting, like you say, that people were devoted sufficiently to go out in such terrible weather. And their motivation is the big question. And after the discussions, the speeches, I stood by and listened to Dan Patrick, who's prominent here in the Houston area because he has brought conservative talk radio to the Houston area. He managed a radio station and owned a radio station and became very prominent in political circles here. And so I listened to what he had to say to some of his constituents. And one of the things that he pointed out very interestingly is that when George W. Bush won election to the presidency 8 or 8.5 years ago, he said the Democrats were all together meeting in these little grassroots meetings, just like we are now, because they were out of power completely, and they had lost their way, and they didn't know what to do, and they needed to figure out how to address the problem. And he said, that's what we're doing right now. We're out of power. We're conservatives. We're out of power. The liberals are in charge, and they're taking us down a very slippery slope, and so we're all upset about it. We need to figure out what to do. And that's what I thought was very, very significant remark on his part. He's explaining that we're just doing what we have to do and what our opponents did not so long ago when they were out of power.
That's exactly right. And, you know, sometimes, Laurel, this is what it takes to come back. It takes to step aside, you know, do a little inventory, see what you got, and then come back a little stronger. And I, you know, we've seen this before, 76 when we lost, 1992 when we lost. We came back both times, and we have right now the capacity to come back. But we have to do it, like you're saying, organizing and having a clear-cut alternative to what we're hearing from President Obama, whether it's on the economy, on national security. We have to present not just a criticism. We can't just say no. We have to say, no, we don't agree with this. This is what we agree with, and this is our plan. And if we do that, I feel very good that we will come back very strongly. What do you think?
Well, I think that's all very worthwhile, Silvio. But one of the things that I wanted to ask and did not get to ask either Dan Patrick or Michael McCall was they kept talking about what we need to do and how bad our opponents are. But one of the things that they did not address, and I have not heard many conservatives or Republicans address, is how we lost the leadership of our country. What we did wrong, what the other guys did to defeat us so handily. We have not addressed those issues, and until we do that, like any good sports coach, we have to look inward first and figure out what are our weaknesses before we start counting our liability. I mean, our resources. We have to understand our liabilities. And this is something I think we need to address. We need to figure out what is the fundamental basis of our operation, because I believe there are still a lot of people who have ideas that are negative and will continue to put them forward, and it will ultimately cause our defeat. As
yeah.
It will hold us back, in other words.
No, you're right about that, and that's always what you – I think that's the mistake the Democrats made, not necessarily 8 years ago, but really during the Reagan administration when they had a – you know, they were out of power for 12 years from the White House. I think they made that mistake. You know, they didn't really come up with an alternative. But I think slowly but surely, I mean, we have to – you know, we have to look at this situation today and realize that we're still only – July 4th into the first year of Barack Obama's term. I mean, if you go back, Laurel, to, let's say, July 4th, 1977, or July 4th, 1993, when we were out of power the last time, I mean, there were many of these questions and many of these concerns back then, and they're very legitimate. I don't mean to downplay what you're saying, but I think it takes a little bit of time for that stuff to come together, and usually I think as we get more into 2010, which is the election year, I think many of those questions perhaps will be answered. But I do agree with you. I mean, we cannot get into the negative, because if we get into the negative, you know, that ain't going to work. That's what the Democrats tried to do in the 80s, and it didn't work for them back then. You may remember that.
Yes, but I would need you to remind me of a specific example from the 80s. Although, you know, Jimmy Carter's administration into the 70s was by and large a very negative organization. His administration was largely corrupt and incompetent. There were scandals, mainly financial and political, going on. And, of course, the same was even more so true of the Clinton administration, which was rife with scandals, the most scandalous administration ever, I would suspect. And so there were many people who were just infuriated and embarrassed by the way that Mr. Clinton comported himself as president. That would address a lot of those issues. But the question was, how did the Republicans comport themselves during the last few years that caused people to have such animosity and such vitriolic response to us? That's the big question that we need to address, and it has yet to be addressed.
Well, and you're right, and what I would suggest we do is pick up on that subject specifically on the radio show. I know you're going to be with us again, and you're going to be doing some commentaries. I think this is a topic that maybe you and I can address in more detail, because I've got some ideas of my own. I think several things happened, particularly in the last 2 years of the Bush administration, that may have led to that. And some of it was out of their control. Some of it they could do something about. And I don't, you know, it's kind of hard to do it today, I will confess. But let's try to do a couple of shows on that when you do some of your commentaries. And let's, you know, let's break this up maybe into a few parts and deal with it that way. Would that be okay with you?
Oh, absolutely. And
yeah,
I appreciate,
let's do that.
I appreciate your thinking on that line, and we can save it for another occasion.
No, let's just do that, because it's a very interesting topic. It's just that I don't think we have the time today to go into it as much as I like, to be honest with you. And I think it's the kind of topic that I would like to do with you. I think we can divide it into three or four segments in which we can address this. Maybe you can do a commentary, and then you and I and maybe some other guests, we can pick it up. We are sort of running out of time, but I do have two questions for you, just reactions. What is your reaction to Sarah Palin dropping out?
I looked at the news on that, and there are basically two comments. One, she had enough of being she and her family being dragged through the mud. That would be one. And the other was that this is actually a smart move on her part, and allows her to go on the talk show and speaking tour circuit and make tons of money and place herself in a much better position to run in 2012. I think the jury is still out on that, but I think for certain the lady has had enough of being dragged through the mud.
Well, not only her, but her children.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that to me is the
most
painful.
It was outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, that was what they did to her children. I tend to be more in the direction of your first point. I think she simply reached the point where it had to be very difficult on her family. But I will say this, she's only 45 years old or 46. So, I mean, this is a lady who has anywhere from 10 to 15 years to come back or try again. And I do have a feeling that she will come back or at least try to come back again. But I think what was done to Sarah Palin, and especially her children, was completely just completely unbelievable. But let me ask you another quick question. Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, just came out. I don't know if you saw this. Just came out in the last couple of days and was very critical of President Obama's spending programs. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he came out and basically said that he was very concerned about the spending. He thought the spending could be very dangerous. And I thought it was a very interesting comment, taken into consideration, of course, that that General Powell last year really, in my opinion, I don't know why he supported President Obama, but he did. But I think he was very critical of the spending, and that's something that if that starts to happen to President Obama, then he may have a few more problems than he realizes, because the spending is already a big concern with some of the blue dog Democrats in the South and in some of the rural and suburban areas.
It's difficult to understand where General Powell stands. Because very clearly, General Powell, who only eight or nine years ago, people were interested in knowing if he would run for president under the Republican ticket. But it was clear that his sentiments were not really Republican, and that he was a Republican because he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under Republican leadership. But that his positions were not, and his sentiments were not really Republican. So it didn't surprise me at all that he supported Mr. Obama in that last election. His behavior now, therefore, is unpredictable. I cannot speculate reasonably, I think, as to his behaviors. But I would also caution by saying I don't think it's really significant. General Powell would have made a fine Secretary of Defense, but he was appointed to Secretary of State at some point in time, and now I don't know that he's involved directly in political affairs. I think he's only a speaker, which is influential in some fashions, but primarily it's about lining his bank account.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I don't know how influential he really is. He's not very influential on our side. He
certainly
may be
not.
Yeah, because I think for at least for me, look, I would have voted for Colin Powell in 2000 if he had run. I was always very impressed with him, but that was before. I'm not for some reason I'm just not as impressed with him because some of his positions, some of his attacks, I don't know, they don't seem to make a lot of sense, but maybe we can leave that for another show. But Laurel, you'll come back with us on Tuesday with a commentary, I hope, and we will also be talking to Adriana. She's going to pick up a couple of interviews on tape that hopefully Michelle Malkin, I cannot promise that, but we're going to try. That would certainly be a home run if we can get that one, don't you think? That
oh, yeah.
Would be kind of cool, yeah. And she's going to pick up some others, and we're also going to be having Bill Katz of Urgent Agenda, one of the nation's premier bloggers. He's going to be joining us on Tuesday as well. So on Tuesday, we're going to do sort of a wrap-up of the Tea Parties. We're sort of going to look at them again, sort of you know, look at them from a distance and have different guests, and hopefully we'll have you as well, Laura, to add some of your thoughts to the show. You are a very good guy, and we're always very happy to have you on.
Thanks very much, Silvio.
Have a great day, and we're going to wrap it up from Dallas, Texas. We hope that everybody enjoyed their show. I think they're listening to me over at the Tea Party right now, as I understand. And I just want to say to everybody, thank you very much for showing up. I will be hopefully headed to the Tea Party here in a few minutes. It's going to be probably very difficult to get there because of all the traffic in that direction, but hopefully I can get there in another hour and a half. And one thing I wanted to close the program by saying that my wife and I celebrate our 23rd anniversary tomorrow, so I just want to take this opportunity to thank my wife for putting up with me for all these years, and I'm sure that she'll be happy to join me at the Tea Party. She's not political, but she is. She always goes with me everywhere I go. At least it's been that way for the last 23 years. Have a great weekend, everybody. Happy 4th of July to a great country, to a great republic. And you know, if you want something to do this weekend, which something patriotic to do, but also something very knowledgeable to do, something that will give you more knowledge about the United States. Go to the video store. I guess they don't have videos anymore, DVD, whatever it is. Go to the DVD store this week and rent a copy of an HBO series called John Adams. It will teach you a great deal about the history of this country, particularly this particular day of July 4th, 1776. And it's going to teach you a great deal about some of the founding fathers and some of the things that they went through and some of the difficulties that they went through. Putting this country together. So I would certainly encourage you to check that out, the John Adams series. It was on HBO, and you can pick it up at any of your DVD rental stores or whatever in your neighborhood. And one of the great things about July 4th is that I just learned this the other day, and it is amazing. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1826. And James Monroe, who I believe was the fifth president of the United States, fifth or sixth president of the United States, also died on July 4th. So here you have three of the founding fathers. I'm not exactly sure if James Monroe was in Independence Hall on Declaration of Independence Day. I don't think he was one of the men there, but he was clearly part of the original group, certainly part of the first 50 years of the country. And all three of them, Adams, Jefferson, and James Monroe, died on July 4th. So I think sometimes, you know, things like that, at least from my point of view, it certainly shows that the hand of God is playing a role in all of this. But have a great July 4th, everybody. Enjoy yourself, enjoy your families, and remember that you live in the United States, and it's a great country. I hope you stay cool if you're in the Dallas area. This is Silvio Castro saying goodbye.